Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Wine About History. I'm your host, Max Hamill, and with me is my co-host,
Patty. Hi.
Hi. So today we're talking about Nian Xing. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. And we are drinking.
It's a South African wine. It's a rosé. It's really South African. Delicious. And it's called Speer, S-P-I-E-R. The label says 1962 Speer.
That's probably a Dutch name.
It probably is. Yeah. It's a 2018 vintage, and it's really good. I like it. And what do you think, Max? Do you like it?
I love it so far.
I love it. So how does this wine tie in with our guy? It probably doesn't.
I'll tell you.
Is there a connection?
There's a connection. Awesome. British imperialism. Because the British conquered the Boer Dutch farmers in South Africa, and they conquered India.
So there you go.
There we go. They're a part of something called the Great Game, which is essentially a Cold War between Russia and India.
Russia has a lot of Cold Wars.
Russia has a lot. It's their thing,
it's
really.
It's kind of like their thing.
So back when Russia wasn't communist in the 1800s, Britain had just conquered bits and pieces of India, slowly going through it. And they had
now,
a lot of...
Did they conquer it? What was their goal in India? I'm confused.
Imperialism.
Expansion. Okay.
So, and some of the people they conquered... Well, some of the occasion they would do is there would be invaders from other areas with different cultures and customs, and then they would conquer the locals, and the British would go to locals and say, hey, we'll kick that guy out, put your old ruling family in power if you're subservient to us. Don't worry, we'll respect your customs and traditions, kind of, and we'll put the old power, and they did that over and over and over again.
Okay, that's kind of smart.
They did it in a couple different places, and... India is very big, so it has a lot of different cultures and different situations going on there slowly, but they conquered it. Well, they both had Russia, going back to the 1300s and 1200s, had interests in the outlying, the Middle East, Afghanistan, Nepal, all that. And Britain just conquered this and wanted to know the frontier. The problem is... Tibet used to be forbidden to outsiders, very forbidden to outsiders. In fact, it was a death penalty if they found you.
So, don't go there.
Yeah, it was. So this great game was fought by spies, politicians, and office clerks, this was a time when Asia was very mysterious to Westerners. They called it the Orient. And it was strange and different, and they don't speak our language. So there's a lot of adventure involved in this.
For sure, yeah. So, I mean, there still is today.
There still is.
A little bit of adventure.
And conquering people has been a big back and forth all throughout history, so a lot of countries become fiercely isolationist.
So how does being an isolationist protect you from... invaders?
It's a very old tactic that traders gather information for invading armies.
Okay.
So, and two, you can build a big army while still being isolated. It's what George Washington wanted.
Interesting.
I mean, my throat's dry. So, this brings up, so Britain needed to explore these countries around India. And they would need to understand the topography, the rivers, to understand what the Russians might do. This brings us to Nian Xing, who was born in 1832 to a tribe known as the Bhotia, I believe they're called. Okay. I couldn't find the native pronunciation. And they're an ethnic group that understand, that are in the Himalayas and the outlying region. They're essentially Tibetans that sometimes don't live in Tibet.
Okay.
You know, so, and... He's a very interesting guy. We'll get to him. So, but the Britain told the Royal Engineers, specifically Captain Thomas George Montgomery, we need to explore Nepal. The outposts, the rivers, the forbidden cities, like Lhasa, which was if a foreigner saw it, they were immediately beheaded.
Oh, geez. Yes. Okay, wait, Nepal or Tibet? Or is that the same thing?
No, Nepal and Tibet are different.
Okay.
This is Tibet.
Nepal's where that big mountain is, right?
No, excuse me. I've confused myself.
What's that big mountain everyone likes to climb?
That's Mount Everest.
Mount Everest, yeah. Yeah. I have a friend that...
This is Tibet. Nepal. This is okay, Tibet, not Nepal.
Okay, all right, sorry. You confused me.
We got all turned... I need a map. Does anyone have a map?
We should have a map up
while we're doing this. I got one right here.
Okay, all right, good. There we go. So Tibet. Tibet is one of those places that's like everybody wants there.
Nepal is next to Tibet.
Sure, yeah, it is, yeah.
All right.
All right, we're squared away now.
We got the map out. So things are less confusing.
They're less confusing.
So
we got straightened out here.
So Montgomery's plan, so dozens of people went there. A lot of great explorers went there and died. So Montgomery's plan was not to send Europeans or Chinese people there or anything. He sent, I'll send locals, Indians who know the customs.
Ah.
And these Montgomery's group of native explorers and surveyors, became the pundits. Okay. Very simple, smart plan.
Yeah.
Should I send white people who don't know anything? No. Send locals. Now, the pundits, this is why I love doing the show, is you find out all this crazy stuff. I've never heard of this before.
No.
And it's fascinating. And I could go on for 20 minutes, but we don't have 20 minutes, do we?
No, we don't.
So I have to end the rant and focus on what we're doing.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
We could rant.
You can rant a little bit.
A little.
So... So this brings us finally to Nyan Sing.
Okay, yes.
Finally. He was a school teacher from a tribe most people have never heard of, in a land most people don't know anything about. But what he was very, very smart man. He was living a normal life. His father had accrued some social debts, probably from fines, breaking some taboo. We don't really
probably
know.
Gambling.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. No, it was social debts, not gambling debts.
Oh,
so I don't
social
know.
Social debt, okay.
So he's like Bilbo in The Hobbit. He's living a normal life. Someone knocks on his door and says, "You're going on an adventure." So his life changes completely. He becomes a spy, a surveyor, explorer, and embraces this life of adventure. He goes to a place called Dehradun, which is Montgomery's headquarters. He goes over a 2-year rigorous training program to become a spy and surveyor. So
how old is he now when he's doing this? Oh, that's all right. We have to look it up.
Let me look.
In
35.
He was 35. Okay.
35 years old.
Or 18, sorry. I'm looking at the wrong.
1835.
Okay.
So he and Montgomery liked each other, made a very good team. Mm-hmm. He learned how to use modern equipment, and he came up with... ingenious ways to mark their progress. So they would go disguised as monks, Buddhist monks, so no one would bother them. And Tibetan prayer beads, but the thing is, they can't have obvious surveying equipment on them, otherwise they get killed, because it's obvious. So Tibetan prayer beads have 108 beads on them. They took off 8 and made a rosary of 100 beads. So every 100 paces, they would take off 1 of these beads, marking their progress.
Okay.
So, you know, 100 beads is 100 paces.
Yeah.
So the spy workshop made these, made wheels that could, Tibetan prayer wheels that could conceal notes. They made false bags. And the training was interesting too. Nyan Sing and his friends figured out how to mark the same length of pace no matter what the terrain, because they're walking in mountains.
Okay.
So they figured out, that'd take some ingenuity. How do we do this and how do we make it instinct?
Yeah, because I'd be like, baby steps, big steps, you know, depending on what it was like, what I was walking on.
So in 1865, Nyan Sing completes his training and is assigned the code name Number One.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that's silly. All right, for so many reasons. All right, never mind. He's number one.
I thought
it's
it was
just okay.
I thought it was cool.
And you know what I'm picturing? Austin Powers. Who does number two work for? You know that crossed your
Please
mind.
Don't sue us, Mike Myers.
No.
My first thought was like, so cool. He's the best one. They named number one, and someone else comes along and just starts laughing. My face is bright red right now, by the way.
It is. I don't know. It's just silly. You're number one. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, back to number one. What did he do? What did number one do?
Apparently, he gave number two orders.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Ever laugh so hard, your mouth actually hurts a little bit and you need to flex your jaw?
Yeah. Is that what's going on with you right now?
All right. So I type up notes and I can't read them because I was laughing so hard. So
you're going to have to wait for it.
Okay. So the schoolmaster was ready for this adventure, and his goal was to go from the holy lake of Mansarowar. I pronounced that right. Awesome.
Awesome.
To Laysa, to Gartok, which is a trading center. And Laysa was the capital. So, going to the capital, he walked westward. And if he was caught, the penalty was death. And even though he was Tibetan, was from a Tibetan ethnic group, they didn't care. You're a foreigner, you're gone. He spoke a lot of languages, too. He's a very smart man. One of his goals was to find and survey the course of the Sapango. The Sapango is one of the biggest and most powerful rivers in Tibet. It's huge. It's like their Mississippi. Okay. So he started his journey in Kathmandu, of all places.
That really exists.
That's a real city, and he started his journey there like a boss.
Yeah.
And it took him 3 months of trekking over snow and dodging border guards, but he finally became the first foreigner to go through that area, see Lisa, and survive. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. In his three months stay, he surveyed everything. He did all this so correctly that his coordinates are still used today.
Wow.
That's how cool he was. And he decided, he saw a Chinese man, a trader, beheaded. So he's like, all right, I'm leaving with this caravan. So the journey was 2.5 million paces, mm-hmm. which he counted on his rosary, or 1,500 miles. So he did that with a rosary.
1,000 miles?
Yes.
1,500 miles?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's like from here to California? I don't know. That just seems really far.
It is really far. It's like
here to Florida, right? I mean, I don't know. Because it seems when I fly to Florida, I get 1,500 miles. I think it is.
I'm just saying what the book said.
Okay. I believe you. That's just really far.
Well, he did walk through a whole country, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Wow.
I think he's there and back again. So he went on several more expeditions. He charted 33 different mountains and passes and peaks. He did all sorts of amazing stuff. And towards the end of his life, he was recognized by the pundits were recognized, and he was personally awarded the Royal Geographic Society's Patron's Medal, and quote, to the man who has added a greater amount of positive knowledge to the map of Asia than any individual of our time.
Wow. And, well, I'm glad he got recognition for it.
Yeah, the Secretary of State for India and president of the Royal Geographical Society said, his name is Sir Clements Markham. These British names are great. Mm-hmm. For the first time, the Great Plateau of Tibet has been traversed by an educated traveler who was able to take observations and describe what he saw. Thus, a great increase has been made to our scanty knowledge of Tibet.
Cool. That is really awesome. I know Tibet does seem like kind of one of those mysterious countries.
You might get bitten by a Yeti. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? That's
right. Well, that is... Thank you for sharing that story about that man. And, wow, what he did sounds just incredible.
Mm-hmm. That's why I love doing this, is because you dig and find interesting people.
You do, yeah. Thank you for finding this.
Oh, I didn't find him. The history books did.
The history books did. I'm just exposing
it. And, you know, like, why we keep doing this is, if this man hadn't done what he did, we wouldn't know anything about Tibet.
Well, we probably would now.
We do now because of our satellites. So I'm just saying, he changed, one man changed history.
Yeah, isn't it amazing what one person can do?
Mm-hmm. Never give up. Never give up on your dreams unless they're nightmares. Unless you've got some demons there, then maybe you should give up on some of that. I don't know.
Just the good ones. Don't give up on your positive dreams.
I'm not judging.
Keep walking and dropping those marbles or beads.
No, he pocket them.
Oh, I thought they dropped them in the ground. I thought it was like a breadcrumb trail.
A breadcrumb trail?
Yeah.
You think someone wouldn't go, one rosary, and then walking, they find another, and just keep going till they find this obvious foreigner?
That's kind of what I was picturing. Oh, they put it in their pocket.
I believe so. I mean, I just know they took one off.
Oh, okay. All right, I got it now, I think. Sorry, a little lost for words there because I'm like picturing this. Yeah, that maybe they put it from like one pocket to the next or something. I don't know.
Apparently, more research is needed.
So read up on this guy.
Yeah, he's fascinating.
And does that wrap it up for?
It wraps up for today.
All right.
So next week,
yes,
we are exploring someone I'm a big fan of, Candijo Rondon.
Ooh.
Rondon. And that's Brazilian, my terrible Portuguese. And he was a famous Brazilian explorer, statesman. If you look at the Brazilian flag, it says Ordem e Progresso on it. That means order and progress. He put it on there. He's had states named after him. He founded Xingu National Park, which was a preserve for the native people of Brazil. That's why Brazil has a big native population, because of this guy. Fascinating. He was friends with Theodore Roosevelt and saved his life. That's right.
All right. Well, you save some of this for next
time. Oh, but there's so much. Like this is just the hook for you to listen to the next episode. That's his biggest achievements, and not even scratching the surface.
Okay.
And how amazing this guy is.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for us then.
Yep.
And thank you for joining us. And
if you have any
suggestions of anybody you'd like to hear about.
Yeah, tweet us. Hit up on the Twitter.
You'd like us to try.
Yes. Or send us, please.
That too. But anyway, thank you for joining us. And
like, comment, subscribe. Oh, wait, we're not on YouTube.
And like, comment, subscribe. If it weren't for history,
you wouldn't be here.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you in the next episode.